The views and opinions expressed by the following program are those of the host, guest, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station or the Webster Rock Hill Ministries, its management, or other host or underwriting sponsors. Programs presented on KWRHLP are for educational and entertainment purposes only. Views which are presented are for educational purposes only and are not intended to treat, diagnose, or claim any cure of disease or condition.
This is Amanda LaPlante, and you're listening to Get Real to Heal on KWRHLP 92.9 FM. With me again today is Dr. Stephen Vandenhoek of Medical Alternatives in Brentwood, Missouri. He is a doctor of chiropractic and a fellow of the American Society of Acupuncture. I think I said your last name wrong.
It's fine. I'm kind of used to it. Vandenhoek.
I'm pretty much used to it. And every time I think it's the Bonterre in me.
You don't have to worry because I have three older brothers, and out of the four of us, we have three different pronunciations. Anything works, we're going to go with that.
Okay. All right. Well, and that's actually a nice little segue into where we left off in the last episode. By the way, if anyone's listening and wants to catch, we did an episode with Dr. Vandenhoek. I did it wrong again, didn't I?
It's good.
So close. Anyway, you can catch the previous episode with him on soundcloud.com/getrealtoheal. And we left off talking about some cultural differences in acupuncture and medicine.
Great. And really, we're going to go a little bit more into some of the acupuncture basis on there. But we're going to kind of expand a little bit about, you know, cultural aspects as well. So we were talking originally about how there's a difference between the acupuncture that is done in Japan versus acupuncture done in China. But, you know, my first acupuncture learning was European style, which was a German style acupuncture.
So I didn't even know that was a thing.
We don't think about that. So it kind of came to Europe through the French. There was a French monk, I believe, if I get this wrong, sorry, that came back and actually is one of the reasons why the nomenclature that American acupuncturists use in European is different. So like the points that we call it large intestine four. That's not the actual name of the point. However, we didn't want to have to learn Asian, Chinese, Japanese. So we actually just made up our own nomenclature for our acupuncture points. So the French were kind of the masters of creating that nomenclature, and they're actually the masters of what's called auricular therapy, which is your ear-based acupuncture.
And okay, you, hold on. Wait, what?
Hold on. Auricular therapy.
Auricular therapy, which so I've heard ear, of, but know very little about.
So it is acupuncture using the ear. So in acupuncture, one of the methodologies is what they call an imaging profile. So it is in essence saying, I'm going to take a body part and use that as a representation of the entire person. An ear would basically be a uterus with a baby sitting in it upside down. So if you wanted to treat an area on the head, the eye, the face, it's your earlobe. If I wanted to treat the foot, that'd be the top of your ear. If I'm looking at the spine, that'd be down the middle of your ear. And right down that crease in the middle of the ear, that would be your diaphragm. So above it would be your heart and your lungs. Below it would be your, you know, intestines and stomach and things like that. So it is a one-to-one style correlation. It says that if I have a condition or a complaint, and let's say it'd be neck pain or a urinary tract infection, there is a point specifically on that ear that you needle for that condition.
Okay, I have to ask because I know that there are probably some allopathic folks listening to this and going, okay, is there any science behind that? How does that even work? How do we prove that?
So, I mean, you know, it's a difficult one. They are trying at this process to do it. Right now they're doing a lot of functional MRI imaging where they're actually kneeling certain points and seeing what part of the brain lights up, doesn't light up. Interesting enough, Dr. Kettner out at Logan Chiropractic College has been working with some of the hospitals over on the East Coast, actually trying to come up with some of this stuff. So there, most of what we have is anecdotal. It is, I treat this point, the patient feels better, there we go. All right. Now, how much of that is placebo versus not placebo? Well, that's a whole other story on, is placebo a real treatment? And my answer is, yeah, heck it is.
If it works, it works. In my experience, because, you know, I've been through a lot of really complex and strange stuff. And at this point, it's like I've been tested and poked and prodded and all this other stuff. And at the end of the day, all I really want is something that works.
Correct. And that's and here's the thing is that the brain is a powerful, powerful tool. And if the brain can make the change in the body, then does it really matter to some degree? From efficacy, we need to know and understand why. But if there's no other option, let's go with it. Because ultimately, the goal, like we talked about before, is what do providers want? They want their patients to get better. All right, we really want people to get better. So working on that with the ear. So Koreans do hand or scalp acupuncture. In essence, they take the hand. If you put your hand on the table and all fingers down, the back two fingers would be the back legs of, you know, the second and fourth finger would be your arms and the middle finger would be your neck. And it's like a dog walking along and they would treat wherever the body part. So that crease down the middle of your hand, that'd be your diaphragm again, above its heart and lung, below its intestines. So you can treat a body point on a hand, on an ear. And those are more of that imaging profile, which I use some of, not a ton though. I tend to do more body-based acupuncture versus imaging. German-based acupuncture has a completely different system of points, but it uses that one-to-one correlation. So they have actually gone through that process. It was called electrical acupuncture, according to Dr. Voll. And they have mapped out every single, not only body part, but every function within the body. And there is a point for that. So it is not just one body part, but it's the function of each body part. And they do that stimulation and they measure the points and treat them. It wraps in quite a bit with homeopathy, which is in itself another kind of subtle form of therapy. But that German-based medicine really used a lot more homeopathic and a lot more electrical acupuncture based on those principles. So we talk about that. Go ahead. You have a question?
Nope. Okay. Dive in. I'm jotting it down.
Because the culture that we come from actually helps direct the care that we're going to receive, the diagnosis that we're going to get, the way that we treat it. So in a culture such as we talked about, Japan has a more shallow or more close proximity type culture versus expansive where we see in Chinese. Even look at some of the cartoon characters. So if you look at the cartoon characters on a Japanese individual, they have big eyes and a small mouth, right? Because they're close together, they're not allowed people, all right? Whereas you look at American cartoons, they've got little eyes and big mouths because we have a big expansive place, kind of like China does, and it's more yelling and screaming. We have to yell to get to people and get their attention. So culturally, the type of therapies that you're going to do are going to be less aggressive and expansive in that yang-based type component than you're going to get with the more yin-based ones, right? And each country develop their own healthcare along the mentality and the mindset and the philosophy of that particular culture. So part of what we see within alternative medicine is that there is a cultural dynamic, and cultures tend to have philosophies and influences that we're talking about, how different providers of alternative medicine have different philosophies and approaches, and how does that come into healing. Can I keep going?
Yeah, right. Please do.
So I'm going to keep the kind of train of thought as it moves. If I lose you, sorry, pull me
I'll
back
jump in. I'll
pull
let you know.
Get you there. So yeah. We talked a little bit about acupuncture and how different philosophies of training based upon their cultural aspect dictated the type of treatment they get, from thick versus shallow needles and thin ones. We look at that as well with naturopathic medicine. So naturopathic medicine has its own long history. And one of the things that we've seen is that naturopathic medicine has really evolved into two different camps. We've got those that have the old traditional, almost more of a biblical type approach of training. They are typically more of a self-study type atmosphere, and they deal with iridology and homeopathy and herbology and diet, nutrition. And then we have your naturopaths now, which go to four-year accredited schools. They have residencies. They work under medical doctors. In some states, they do, you know, prescriptions, OB-GYN work, minor, you know, things along those lines. And we see that there is a distinct difference within that field. So people say, I want to go see a naturopathic, who should I see? And that's a really big open topic, because you've got those that have a more aggressive academic training, and you have those that have a less aggressive academic training. And one of the dilemmas I face, and because as someone who, you know, went to get their doctor's degree, I tend to lean towards go see the doctor that went to 4 years of school versus one that didn't. One of the things I'm gonna recommend though, as well, is that sometimes, like you said, what you really want is to get better. And I have seen therapists that have had minimal training that are brilliant, do amazing things. And I have seen providers that have had all the training in the world that don't do much. The reason that I feel it important though to first start someplace where we have some credibility is because there's at least some sense of knowledge base that we can start off of. Experience is amazing and it's powerful and it's wonderful, but we've got to start someplace, right? So culturally speaking, within, you know, the naturopathic realm, there are as well the people that want to do more low force, adaptive, yin-based allopathic medicine, and they want to do low dilutions, homeopathics, whole food type stuff. And there's those that want to get into concentrated herbs, and they want to go into vitamin infusions, and they want to go into more potent things that really work more in that allopathic realm. So I'm always nervous when I talk about other professions because I am not that profession, but this is my perspective, right? And when I look at, and I've been doing this for 17 years now, when I look around, I've seen good and I've seen bad come out of all of them. Chiropractors are the same way. A lot of chiropractors will, philosophically, they'll come from approach of, really, it is our job to help align things in the body and let the body take care of the rest, and that we should have the least amount of interference as possible and let nature do everything else. And there's those that say, no, that's ridiculous. We need to do everything we can possibly do for this person in every possible way, and it is our job to make sure that they get back to that point. So the philosophical differences within each profession are going to be a big determining factor into how much therapy you're going to get, how frequent you're going to get treated, how much you're going to go with that, and what do we do with it. And that kind of leads into that difference of, when people come to me and they say, should I see this provider or that provider? My next question is, what treatments are they going to be doing for you? And are those treatments appropriate for you as well? And so we'll get to that in a bit on what are some of the different treatments, whether it be, you know, what are the common treatments that we use from different providers, as well as, if you're open to it, I'd like to kind of talk about fad treatments as well.
Oh, you bet. I'm open to it. Absolutely.
You get on Facebook that's going to, you know, cure your back in 3 weeks, or it's going to solve all of your ADHD issues, or whatever it's going to be.
Wait, magic pills do exist?
Magic pills do exist. That's
wow.
Right.
I didn't know. I've been looking.
That's not to deny that magic, I don't want to use magic, but miracles happen.
Absolutely.
I mean,
and we should talk about some of that too.
Freaking amazing things, right? They do happen, but they're called miracles for a reason. They're not the standard. So right. We all want that magic one-time cure. And we've got some cool stories about that, but let's step back from that for a bit.
Okay. Well, actually, you know, that's tempting. Okay. That's tempting to just dive right in. But I do want to say yes about what you said a moment ago about the differences in training and things like that. I've had, I'm connected with a wide array of professionals through my network. And yeah, sometimes you can have a person that has tons of training and it just isn't really able to cut through and get the job done versus someone that maybe has a little less. But at the end of the day, I do usually default to the person that has more training.
And there's a reason.
Yeah. And that's why when I went into health coaching, I asked a medical doctor that I was working with, I said, you know, what would be a more respected certification that I could get? Where could I go? And I actually picked the school with the longest possible program.
You got it. Yeah.
For the moment. And I'm still going on for additional training because I think it's important.
Well, and that comes back down to the foundations that we build upon. So, you know, some of the people that come into this with lesser training, they have a foundation. They are that type of individual, but most of us don't. So when we move into that world of starting to help people and treat with them, the foundation that we build is what dictates how we move forward and what we learn. And that is huge in that process. So where the accreditations, the schools, the things that come into play is because we know that you've got the solid foundation to build upon. Now, what you do with that, that's up to you, right? That's up to the provider. That's up to the individual, but you've got to have those foundations. And that's really what you are all about, is helping people understand those foundational principles, right? We can work on that, but if you don't have those foundations set in place, everything you build upon, that's going to fall over, topple, it's going to collapse. And that's that recurrent coming back over and over and over. Well, why does it keep coming back over and over? Something's wrong with the foundation.
Right, right. Let's talk about some of those miracle cases, because I love those.
All right. So, you know, it's interesting when we step back, there's some that I have myself, there's some that I've seen from other people, you know, whether it be, you know, I consider to be one of those miracle cases, you know, 2-3 visits and I, you know, years and years of having to blow my nose because I've had gunk in my ears and tubes. To me, that's a miracle case, because it really, you know, where would have I been? Would have I ended up with some, you know, hearing damage at some point from that? What could have potentially happened down that road?
And by the way, we see so many cases of kids getting tubes. I can't tell you how many people I know that they're like, oh yeah, we're getting tubes put in the ears.
You know, one of the difficulties is that the eustachian tube angle is not, if I'm wrong on this, let me know, but I think the eustachian tube angle is a little bit off. It doesn't have quite the ability to drain the same way we do as we get an adult. So what happens is that backs up, that clogs up. It doesn't allow for that proper movement. So, I mean, there are some really neat techniques out there to actually help open that up and stimulate that. But ultimately, my issue was is the smooth muscle was not contracting enough to allow it to push out. And once we got that nervous system functioning again, it worked. There are a ton of research studies out there that compare antibiotics to chiropractic. And now we know that, hey, most of the time, pediatricians aren't given antibiotics for this because they realize it's a viral thing. It's not a bacterial thing, right? But there is research that shows that, you know, physical medicines and therapies actually reduce the duration and the discomfort associated with your infections. what I end up with most people is they go, yeah, but I don't want to spend $120 for a 3-day benefit. Well, I get that, but the issue comes back down to, but if this is recurrent and we don't get some control, what's the long-term cost to your child's health if we don't go that route? So, yeah.
Absolutely, 100%.
So let's go into a couple of miracles. So yeah. one of my favorite I love talking about is we had a gentleman that had back surgery, and he was getting, every 6 months, getting injections from the medical doctor to help control the pain. He said, you know, I do really well for about 3 months, and then it just starts hurting again, and I don't know what to do. And I thought, you know, I've tried exercises, I've tried physical therapy, it's not working. I wanted to try some acupuncture. Let's see what we have available. So we were doing some acupuncture on this gentleman. And about 15 minutes into it, so, you know, I feel a little bit better, probably about 23% better. I said, well, that's good, but really we want, you know, 50 plus before you leave. So we got done with it, and it was about the best we came up with. And I'm pulling out the needles. And before I take them out, put them in a little bin, I had two still left in them. He thought I was done. All right. So the poor gentleman stands up, and the needles happen to be on the bottom of his feet.
Ooh.
All right. Yeah, I know. We're all cringing at this point, right? Painful. And he stands up, and I gasp, and I say, oh my gosh, I may have cussed, who knows. Oh my gosh, you've got needles on the bottom of your feet. You have to get back on the table. We got to check to make sure they didn't break, anything like that. And he goes, no, I don't. I don't have any needles on my bottom of feet. Here, let me show you. And he starts stepping up and down, walking, right? At this point now, I'm just absolute horror. He sits back down because all of a sudden he realizes, oh my gosh, they're in there, it hurts. We pull him out. He's like, I'm so sorry. I'll wait till you tell me to get up. He stands back up and he has no more back pain. I mean, gone, 100%. I said, well, this is a fluke, but that's great. Let's see what happens. Come back in a week, we'll come with you. A week later he comes back and, doc, I still don't have any back pain. I'm like, well, that's kind of good. Come back in 2 weeks. Comes back in 2 weeks, doc is still gone. So I now see him about once every 6 months for a tune-up, and that's about it, all right? Now, do I ever recommend that therapy for someone?
Dear Lord.
Heck no,
no.
Right?
But, well, and what do you think it was about that worked?
So this is going to go into a little different direction of miracle treatment cures that aren't provided by providers, okay? Sometimes enough stimulation, enough trauma to a particular area can be enough to reset the system. All right. So if we think about what the acupuncture is really trying to do, how does acupuncture on the bottom of the foot change the back? It changes the way the brain perceives the information and sends a signal back down to the body. So the kidney, one point on the bottom of each of his feet that I got, had a strong enough stimulation to basically reset the way the brain perceived the information. It doesn't always work that way, but in his case, it was instant, and it lasted. It was long. I've had stories of individuals that go down to the lake, get on a wave runner, and they get blown off the wave runner. They land hard onto the water. They're like, oh gosh, I'm in pain. They get back up, and neck pain that's been there for 20 years is gone. Sometimes the trauma that we induce can actually be enough to basically rechange the way that the body signals. And they go, well, I went to a chiropractor for 10 years and never got better. Well, you know, the angle, the force, the whatever, it just wasn't there. But sometimes accidents can be, and it can be the treatment. Now, on a more practical case, we had a young gentleman. He's about 8 years old. This is probably a good 15 years ago. Came to the office, hadn't been able to walk for almost a year, had been to every specialist under the sun. His right leg just dragged behind him, constantly just dragged. They could not figure out, the nerves were good, the discs were good. Everything was normal with this child, but they could not figure out why this child could not walk. So this was one of my father's cases. I was there, and he looks at the child, and he starts examining the child. He says, well, I think I know the answer. And he lays the child down, and he lifts up on the knee, and the SI joint, a sacroiliac joint, went boom, it popped. Child got up and started running around. So it was nothing more than just a jammed joint that had not been probably diagnosed, because we're looking for those acute things, those tumors, those fractures, those dislocations, those infections, and it wasn't there. It was just a mechanical problem, right? So whether it be I'm dealing with peripheral neuropathy, which we get quite a few post-cancer patients that have chemotherapy, radiation, they end up with peripheral neuropathy. I'm stunned the type of improvements that we're able to see with people with a combination of acupuncture and physical medicine and herbology and vitamins that we pull in there, from fish oils to alpha lipoic acid to, you know, your B12s and your benzothiamine and some electrical acupuncture, and they get really, really good results. And we're seeing more and more of those type of cases. Does everyone with peripheral neuropathy get better? No. But to me, a miracle case is someone who's been 6 months without any improvement, and after six visits, they're now able to feel the foot when they walk around. To me, that's a miracle. It may not be a one time, but my gosh, that's amazing. So from that end.
Yeah, and I have to mention, just from a standpoint of some of the clients that I've worked with, peripheral neuropathy and the connection to gluten sensitivity,
yes,
and also to B vitamin issues.
Yeah.
I've found that with some of my clients.
It's huge. And we don't think about it, but you know, B vitamins are, I mean, most of your B vitamins help nerves, right? They help function within there. So you talked about gluten sensitivity a little bit, right? I'm gonna step back now into some of the therapies components and some of the testing type issues. When we look at sensitivities, and you've talked about sensitivities before, if we look at a sensitivity versus an allergy, right? This is one of those conditions of reactive versus adaptive, right? Because sensitivities get less when you consume less of that, and they get more when you consume more of that, right? So when we look at people that have these reactive versus adaptive type conditions that we talked about last time, and we're looking at treatments, right? What's the best treatment for gluten sensitivity?
Don't eat the gluten. Yeah, people are always like, oh, what kind of testing can I? Well, stop eating the gluten. If you eat the gluten again and you don't feel good, don't eat the gluten.
Don't eat the gluten, right. Okay, so this is one of those adaptive type issues. The body has over time been chronically exposed, irritated, traumatized, and we build up inflammation. Now, that chronic condition can lead to reactive acute conditions, in the sense that now we have inflammation inside the GI tract. Now we have inflammation within the nervous system. Now we have inflammation in pretty much every tissue. If you think about that, you talk about gluten sensitivity, the inflammation that exists within the body from this protein reaction that is happening because your body sees it as an infection, your whole body is getting inflamed. Everything is. That includes nerves, brain, joints, gut, eyeballs, ears, everything is being inflamed because it's a systemic reaction. That is that adaptive. If you twist an ankle, you don't get systemic inflammation. You get local or regional inflammation. To a degree, you do get a little systemic, but for the most part, it's local. You see it. It swells up. You go, oh my gosh, that's not good. You don't see that internal inflammation. That's why people look at that and say, oh, it's not a real issue, or oh, it can't be that bad, because you don't see it, you don't pick it up. And even the blood tests for inflammation are really not sensitive enough to pick it up the full way. You can do some, but it's not quite the same. So that is one of those adaptive type things that you see adaptive providers doing. So if you go into a clinic and you're like, hey, I've had back pain for 25 years, and your doctor says we should need to check on food sensitivities, and you go, what the heck does that have to do with my back? Well, two things: inflammation chronically everywhere, but number two, when the GI tract is irritated, all the nerves hooked into that GI tract, they're irritated. Guess what those hook to? Your back. So sometimes if you've been seeing care and you're not getting better, maybe it's because that's not the actual problem. Maybe it's just a symptom of the deeper problem you have to go after. Now, acute-wise, let's do some of the basic things that we all do, acute reactive type therapies, but if they're not working, shift tactics and go over to your adaptive. At the same hand, if you're doing adaptive-based care for something and it's not working, maybe you need to go over to the acute for a little while and get that done and get that taken care of.
And I think the bottom line, right, the point at the end of the day is, if you're not seeing improvement, don't give up.
Don't give up.
Don't just accept it. Because I think that through the allopathic model, for all of the wonderful things that it can do, one thing that it's taught us is, or taught a lot of people, and I know I was in this boat, was, well, that's just the way it is. You have this condition, and you just got to deal with it.
We tried option A, B, and C. It's not available, so therefore there's no other option.
Right.
And the answer is, no, there is. But that's the same thing. So just like when I needed a new chiropractor, I didn't quit after the first one when it didn't work. And I gave every chiropractor, and so I told all of them, I love my chiropractors out there, right? I said, I'm going to give you three shots, three treatments to work on me to see if I'm getting any better. And after three, if I'm not getting better, I'm going to find somebody else, because it's just not the right style for me. It's not that what you're doing isn't right. It's not that you're not a great doctor. It's that you and I aren't a good fit. That's what it was about. And that's why I say it was frustrating, because it took me five, right, to get it. But the benefit I received from that was tremendous. I was able to get, I mean, I was actually starting to lose work because I couldn't do what I needed to do. So, you know, financially for my family and for my own stability and for my own health, I had to get that taken care of. And I had tried PT at some point in between that because I'm like, this isn't working. Maybe I need some PT. Did some exercising. And I know I'm a doctor. I know all this stuff. But you know what? I'm lazy like most people. I want someone to help do it and hold my hand while I'm going through the process. Okay. But don't give up. Sometimes it's that you either have you've been misdiagnosed. Okay. Which either it's completely the wrong category or the wrong type, whether it be yin or yang or adaptive or reactive, or you actually have the wrong provider point from other.
Right. So. Well, and I think another point, and you know what, I kind of just lost my train of thought there, but I think, oh, training. You know, not every doctor knows everything. No. There's a lot of new science coming out on, gosh, you know, all kinds of different things, right? Yeah. There's always new things coming out. So
again, genetic variants and all kinds of crazy stuff out.
So don't give up, because there's, and what I've learned, because most people would look at my medical record and go, right, I've had doctors that I work with that have looked at it and gone, how are you sitting here?
Right.
How are you there? And how are you not on a ton of medications? And it's like, well, because I never gave up and I never will.
Yeah.
So you just keep digging. You keep digging. So we've got 1 minute left. I wanted to get into so much more with you. I'm going to make you come back.
Sure, I absolutely love to.
Okay, I'm glad I finally got you in the chair with me. This is great. All right, but I want you to let everybody know a little bit about your practice, how they can get in touch with you.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I have a small family practice. It's my father and myself. He's a chiropractor. I'm a chiropractor. As you can tell from our conversation, he tends to do most of the aggressive acute type care. I tend to do more of your adaptive low form type care. We do chiropractic, acupuncture, nutrition work, even some additional counseling type stuff, as well as a lot of referrals. We can be found information online at getbetterstl.com is our website. We got all kinds of stuff on there, some videos about me, what I do, how I do it. We've got a Facebook page, which I think she's got linked up on there. I don't do a lot with it, but it's a place to at least get some information. And then always you can call and talk to me. I'm happy to talk to anybody. Our office phone number is 314-667-8864. And I really do want, anytime someone calls me, to be what I call a handshake. It's an opportunity for you and I to get to know each other and figure out, are we going to be a good fit? And if we are, let's go forward. And if we're not, let's find someone that'll help you out better.
Dr. Stephen Bandenhook of Medical Alternatives in Brentwood, Missouri. Thank you again.
Hey, it was a blast. Thanks for having me.
This is Amanda LaPlante. You've been listening to Get Real to Heal on KWRHLP 92.9 FM. To reach out to me, find me online at amandalaplante.com or on facebook.com/getrealtoheal. For this and other episodes of Get Real to Heal, find us on soundcloud.com/getrealtoheal. And for a free 30-minute consultation or anything that you need from me, just give me a call, 314-583-6749 as well. Have a great day.